old path, where the good way is. Timeless truth from the Bible, Christian teaching, thought and meditations from prior times, read by missionary to Africa, James Robinet.
Duties that Preserve Marriage by William Gouge, 1575 through 1653. For maintaining peace. These and many other like things give occasion to man and wife in special manner to pray for one another and with one another. Of husbands and wives, mutual care for one another's salvation. Of the particular duty of husbands in this respect, from the general duty of prayer, which is profitable to all things, I come to the particular branches of man and wife's mutual provident care. I will begin first with that which is first to be sought, the good of one another's soul. This the apostle intimates to be a thing to be sought after, where he says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband?" Or, "How knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" 1 Corinthians 7, verse 16. St. Peter enjoins wives to do their endeavor to win their husbands. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 5. And St. Paul sets before husbands the pattern of Christ's love, which had especial respect to the soul and the salvation thereof. Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 32. This is a mutual duty appertaining to them both, which St. Peter further implies where he styles them co-heirs of the grace of life, 1 Peter 3, verse 7. It is the greatest good that one can possibly do for another to be a means of helping forward his salvation. And there is nothing that can more soundly and firmly knit the heart of one to another than to be a means thereof. Of husbands and wives care to win one the other when one of them is not a believer. That the salvation of the soul may be the better effected, respect must be had to the present and particular estate of husband or wife. If one be a believer and the other not, the believer must use all the means that may be to draw on the other also to believe. If both be believers, their mutual care must be to edify one another in their most holy faith. For the first, it is the main drift of St. Peter's exhortation to believing wives about their conversation to draw on their unbelieving husbands to the true faith. Now, if this duty appertain to a wife, much more to a husband, who is appointed a head to his wife and a savior. To this end, does St. Paul advise believing husbands and wives that are married to unbelievers to dwell with them. Means of conversion, the best cause of love. If it please the Lord to give such a blessing to the endeavor of a husband or wife as to be a means of the conversion of their bedfellow, then will the party converted both entirely love the other and also heartily bless God that ever they were so nearly linked together. Of husbands and wives edifying one another. The second duty, tending to the soul's salvation, is that two believers being married together endeavor mutually to build up one another more and more. One Christian owes this duty to another, much more man and wife. A spiritual edifying of one another is the best use that can make and ought to make of those joints and bonds whereby we are knit one to another. By virtue of them, the body, namely the mystical body of Christ, receiveth increase to the edifying of itself and increaseth with the increase of God, Colossians 2, verse 19. Now the bond of marriage, being of all other the firmest, and that whereby we are nearest knit together, by virtue of what bond should we edify one another, if not by virtue of the marriage bond? Man and wife, to prevent sin in one another. That it is a mutual duty for husbands and wives, so much as they can, to prevent sin one in another, is evident by that reason that the apostle uses, to keep them from defrauding one another in these words, that Satan tempt you not, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. For out of the scope and matter of those words, this general doctrine may be gathered. Husbands and wives ought to be careful to keep one another from the temptations of Satan, that is, from sin, whereunto all his temptations tend. Direction for preventing sin. For the better effecting of this duty, husbands and wives must be watchful over one another and observe what sins either of them are given unto, or what occasions are offered to draw either of them into sin. If both should be testy and hasty to wrath, when the one sees the other first moved, the party whose passion is not yet stirred ought the rather to be settled and composed to all meekness and patience, lest if both together be provoked, the whole household be set on fire. Of husbands and wives redressing sin in one another. When either husband or wife has fallen into any sin, a mutual duty it is for the other to use what redress may be of that sin. As if one of them were wounded, the other must take care for the healing of that wound. Abigail performed her duty in this kind when, after she had heard what churlish entertainment her husband gave to David's servants, she hastened to carry store of provision to David and humbled herself before him. This so moved David to assuage his wrath. Yea, she took a seasonable time also to tell her husband his fault and the danger whereinto he brought himself thereby. More directly and with better success did Jacob redress the superstition, or rather idolatry, of his wife Rachel, as may be gathered by comparison of Genesis 31:19 and 34 and Genesis 35:2 and verse 4. A brother at large must not suffer sin to lie on his brother, much less may husband or wife the one upon the other. It is a branch of hatred to suffer sin to lie on any. Thou shalt not hate thy brother, says the law, and suffer sin to lie on him, Leviticus 19, verse 17. To this, then, there is a token and fruit of hatred. If a husband should see his wife, or a wife her husband, lying in the fire or water, ready to be burnt or drowned, and not afford their best help to pull them out, might they not justly be thought to hate them? But sin is as fire and water, which will burn and drown men in perdition. This duty may be performed by meek instructions, pithy persuasions, and gentle reproofs, yea, and by the help of some good minister or other discreet and faithful friend. How growth in grace may be helped forward. This duty may be better effected by these means following. 1. By taking notice of the beginning and least measure of grace and approving the same. 2. By frequent conference about such things as concern the same, mutually propounding questions one to another thereabouts and answering the same. 3. By their mutual practice and example, making themselves each to the other a pattern of piety. 4. By performing exercises of religion as praying, singing psalms, reading the word, and the like together. 5. By maintaining holy and religious exercises in the family. Though this duty especially appertains to the husband, yet the wife must put her husband in mind thereof if he forget it, and stir him up if he be backward. No man's persuasion in this kind can so much prevail with a man as his wife's. 6. By stirring up one another to go to the house of God, to hear the word, partake of Christ's ordinances, and consciously perform all the parts of God's public worship.